I believe that the Lord gave a very precious word for us this morning. And I'm going to ask if you would turn two places in your Bible this morning with me. Psalm 121. Psalm 121, and then a marker there. And the second place is 2 Corinthians 2:7. 2 Corinthians 2:7. If you're new, if you don't have a Bible, maybe the person beside you will just share when we briefly look at these verses. Psalm 121 and 2 Corinthians 2:7. My message this morning is entitled, Giving the Gift That Changes Everything. And let us pray. Father, we come in the mighty name of Jesus. And we do thank you, Lord, that we gather in your great name. Now, Lord, we just pray that you would light up your word by the power of your Spirit. I pray, O God, that we could bond to you today and bond to your will. I pray, O God, that what is in your heart to do, what would please you today, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord, have your freedom. Have the freedom, O God, that you bring, the liberty of the Spirit, that we may be anointed to hear and anointed to do. And we will be grateful and we will be changed. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. It's Christmas, so this is a Christmas message, but maybe it is going to be shown or spoken about in a most unusual way. I want to speak to you about this best Christmas gift through a part of David's life that I think speaks so poignantly to us at Christmas. There is something, a part of his life that I feel is especially appropriate. And you may be scratching your head saying, I don't remember a manger scene in the life of David. But if we will see that actually there is something very special for us at Christmas time concerning his life and a part of his life. So let me begin by saying, I think one of the most amazing things about Christians is that we have received the great gift of forgiveness. We have received the great gift of forgiveness. I think we can say that easily, but the whole impact of what that amazing thing is, that having peace with God and being covered and forever dwelling in his mercy is an amazing thing. That when Christ forgives us and cleanses us and covers us and says we belong to him, and that we are separated now, the sheep from the goats, that we are a completely different group of people. We're his family. He deals with us differently because we are forgiven. Because we are forgiven. Because we are forgiven. Hallelujah. We are forgiven by God. Now at Christmas, there is what we sing and what we say and read on Christmas cards so often is peace on earth, goodwill to men. And of course, that's God's sentiment to all of mankind this Christmas season. He sent the gift of his son, that through him he may send us the gift of forgiveness and that we may live changed lives. But I believe that there's a whisper from Christ to his followers this season. And I believe it's this, that he's saying this Christmas, I will enable you also to give the gift of forgiveness. I will enable you also to give the gift of forgiveness. As I have forgiven you and to the quality of the way I have forgiven you, I want to enable my body to give the gift of forgiveness. That I think this Christmas, forgive someone, forgive some situation. You know, I believe many here have wanted to, but still feel chained in that area. Some are longing perhaps to have a full free spirit towards someone or some situations. And especially those in the house of God. Especially those that where we walk with one another, sometimes we jostle one another, sometimes situations come where we can be just icily correct and a little estranged. Because in the house of God, a house divided is weak and a heart divided is weak. And I feel God wants to give us the gift to be enabled to forgive freely and fully this Christmas. Because the scripture says, by then all men shall know that you are mine when you have love one to one towards another. Now, David's journey and David's story of forgiveness is epic. For those that maybe perhaps are new in the Lord, but if you go to the Old Testament in 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel chronicles the life of David, tells his story so completely. And this Christmas, perhaps you want to give yourself the gift of time and read 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel again. But in 1 Samuel 16, we see where David as a young boy is anointed king. He is chosen to become the next king of Israel. And after that anointing and infilling with the Holy Spirit, he just returns to an obscure life. There is no fanfare. There is no royal carpet put out before him. He does not return with a robe. He actually returns to the obscurity of his life, and really not, I don't know how pleased his family was that he was chosen over them. But the very next chapter in 1 Samuel 17 is the story of Goliath. And that story is one great moment of scriptural history where a giant comes tumbling down that we thrill to. And as we walk with Christ, we ourselves experience giants of despair, giants of bitterness, giants, our own spiritual giants in Christ. They come down. We are given the same privilege as we walk with Christ. It is a great moment in scriptural history, and without a doubt, a great moment in the personal history of David. But beloved, as we continue reading in 1 Samuel, we read that there was not only a Goliath in David's life, but there was also a Saul. And King Saul was in David's life, he was his mentor, he was his leader, he was his brother in the Lord. He was a family member. And he was so significant in David's life. And David strove very hard to please him, to serve him, to honor him. But it turned into a very complicated relationship. And I don't know if you've ever had a complicated relationship. I trust many here have. I have. Saul would turn against him, and David wouldn't raise his hand against him. But this relationship brought pain and confusion. It brought family breakup. This ongoing battle with Saul was going to be larger than the battle with Goliath ever would be, more significant than the battle with Goliath would ever be, because David, in order to survive spiritually, was going to have to forgive Saul 16 long years. Hunted, pursued, harassed, opposed by a man I think he esteemed and maybe at one time gave his heart to. Yet David, in the struggle of his life, for his spiritual life, his physical life, his emotional life, in this struggle, he was able to say at the end of Saul's life, how the mighty have fallen. When Saul came to the end of his days and David was found at his memorial, David said, how the mighty have fallen. He arrived at that point a free and a forgiving man. And I tell you, this example is only true in Christ. This can only happen in Christ. Because in our own nature, in our human nature, we tend to give as we get. We tend to feel if we're rejected, we reject first, or try to. We reject back. If we've been betrayed by someone we've put our trust in, we tend to withdraw trust. If we've been hurt because they're a family member, we tend to nurse it. We tend to walk with it. But in Christ, and David is a Christ type, he's a man who was anointed And he was a man whom God loved very much. And he loved God. And somehow, through this long journey, I say to you, the most spectacular story of his life wasn't the taking the head off Goliath. It was walking in forgiveness towards Saul for 16 years. It was a complicated relationship. And beloved, David didn't do everything right. He felt driven into the enemy camp. One time he was forced a horrible place. He despaired. He didn't know what to do. He had run from Saul for so long. He despaired and he ended up in the enemy camp, supposedly offering himself to fight on the enemy side against his brothers. He literally made a fool of himself there before the Philistines. He did fall into despair and depression. And at one point, while fighting Saul for a season, David lost his family, Ziklag. And the stakes were high in this relationship. This relationship could have so easily chained the spirit of David. It could have so easily and wanted to alter his life course. And beloved, you and I can feel at times that we have a Saul-type person in our life. We too, wanting to serve God, find ourselves with someone, in a situation with someone. They feel that they can oppress you by their actions. They feel they can alter your walk with God. They make walking with God so hard because this is a complicated relationship. And they can push your buttons. And as much as you want victory, it tends to know more of a failure aspect to it. And at times, like he was, we can be driven to hopelessness because in wanting to forgive, we seem to have so little of the fruits of forgiveness, just like David. But David knew he had to release this relationship to God. He did know that. He knew that everything depended on his doing that. And that's why I love one of the Psalms. And it says in verse 121, it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved, and he that keepeth you will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, and the moon by nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Hallelujah. This psalm truly showed where David's heart and head had to go to survive a Saul experience. And he knew that he had to release this relationship, and he knew he had to keep lifting his eyes unto the hills. That's what we have to do. There's times that, Lord, I just have to look up to your cross. I just have to look to you because you have forgiven me. And the quality of the forgiveness that you have offered me will surely reach the depths of everything you are asking me to forgive. It can surely go to the deepest places, the most complicated of relationships. It can go to the greatest hurts and the lightest of hurts. I will lift my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help, because there are situations and places we need to forgive that we can't do it in our human spirit. Beloved, the enemy, he dwells in our human spirit, but when we ask for the filling of God's spirit to come and touch our own, the enemy can't do anything when God's spirit fills us. The enemy can manipulate and push our human spirit, but when we call for God's spirit to come touch our spirit, we become as a fortress. We become kept. We become invincible in that place. And not only are we covered, but we are changed in the process. We are changed. It's like the gift God wants to give us. We change. And the scripture says that God never sleeps. He never takes our eyes off us when we are trying to walk in that place of God. I have to release certain situations to you. I have to keep releasing certain relationships to you because God is faithful. And he says the same anointing that was on David will be on his church, that we will arrive at that place free in our spirit and able to forgive. We see that this scripture is saying, when the sun beats on you, the heat of the relationship and the adversity of the moment, give it to me. Give it to me. I understand it. I understand this way better than you do. And one of the most amazing things in our relationship with Christ is that we are completely understood. I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again because the day that it hit my heart, it was amazing. I am completely understood by God. I am completely understood. I don't understand myself at times. I don't understand everything around me, but I am understood by him. Hallelujah. That's why I know he's a God of justice. He knows everything. He is a God of justice. He will do the right thing by us. He will do the right thing for us. He loves justice. He loves judgment. Those that will walk in a way perverse to him will know his wrath, will know his judgment. But those of us that say, Lord, I just need to get low before you. I just need to walk humble. At times I need to walk chastised before you. And I, you know, this week I've got chastised by God and it ended up being the best place. Because when I get pushed out in my flesh, I know I'm out there all alone. I know I'm out there making my own judgments and I'm making my own decisions. And I don't like that feeling anymore because it's my privilege to walk with Jesus Christ. And when I walk there, I feel his protection. I feel his guidance. I feel that place where what wants to devour me and overpower me can't. If I walk out of that place of protection and that high tower and I'm left to myself, I'm glad to be chastised because it sends me back to that place that I want to be, actually. The scripture keeps saying David was preserved in his relationship with the Lord while he had to walk through Saul-like experiences. He was preserved. A lot of times we think, if I forgive them, they're just going to, great, they get off scot-free. I'm left with all the collateral damage. No, that's not true. No, the Lord says, you walk my way and you will see a glory come into your soul. You walk my way, I'll change you. You walk my way, I will preserve all that is good. My favor is upon you and that favor will be preserved. You're going in, you're coming out, you will be preserved. You will know the glory of God. You will know the favor of God if you will do the most Christian thing there is to do, and that is forgive. The most Christian thing we can ever do one to another is release and forgive. Hallelujah. So God wondrously helped David. And when David had opportunity for revenge, he was withheld from doing so. God's spirit was working with David as evidenced in Psalm 121. He was saying, keep close to me. And I will keep close to you. I will take you through these dark, unsearchable waters. And you won't have to defend yourself. You won't have to justify yourself. Stay close to me. I will change you. What your part was less than stellar, I'll change. But I will give you a heart that so mimics and mirrors mine. I will give you a heart to forgive. What all we have been given in Christ, you will start to be able to give away. It's hard to see selfish people, ones that only take, and never give out. And I think that sometimes has to hurt the heart of God because he's going, I've given you an unsurpassed forgiveness. It's unsurpassed. It's going to take you right through this life into the next. There is no comparison to the way I've forgiven you deeply and freely. And I hold nothing against you. I love you. And he goes, I want you now in the power of the Spirit to offer that same kind of forgiveness to those that you know you must. I've had a complicated relationship. I had a very complicated relationship growing up with my mom, actually. And I got saved in my early 20s, and I felt one of the very first things that I was supposed to do was to go and ask my mother's forgiveness for things. And I balked because the first thing that came to mind was, what? Me ask her forgiveness? She should be asking my forgiveness. But there came a day I went actually to a series of revival meetings, and it became very clear to me that God was not going to let me go on this issue. He wasn't going to listen to my arguments, and he wasn't listening to my point of view. He said, there's something bigger at stake here than you could ever know. You have to go, and you have to ask her forgiveness. And I was afraid to go and ask her because I was afraid if she ever said to me, why? Why are you saying that? I just felt like I couldn't go there. I couldn't go and start up reviewing the whole relationship. I just couldn't go there. And I didn't want to go there. But by the end of the meeting, I bent my knee in my heart, because we do have knees in our heart. And I bent my knee. It was in my heart. And I said, I will do it. But I walked out of the church and into the dark night. And I started to drive home, and I lost all my nerve, all my will, and all my courage. And I couldn't do it. And I was driving into the darkness. It was a country road. All of a sudden in the darkness appeared this cross on top of a church. It was all lit up. And in the darkness of the night was this cross lit up. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I'm not asking you to do this on your own. I'll go with you. So I went, because I didn't have to go alone. And I asked her to forgive me, and she said yes. And she got, yes. And she got saved shortly after. And here's what forgiveness does. I can't even remember what that issue was now. It's supernatural to forget deep issues. It's supernatural. And what shaped our life can actually pass away. What was the dominant issue of our life actually melts away in the amazing supernatural offer to forgive. And we start out, you know, it's like a one-time offer to forgive, and then it becomes a continuing walk of releasing and forgiving, like David did, till the point of freedom. Now, another aspect of forgiveness that I want to get to is 2 Corinthians 2:7. This is another aspect of forgiveness. And just one verse in 2 Corinthians 2, and it's actually verse 7. And it says, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such one should be swallowed up with excessive sorrow. There's this admonition now here. On the contrary, Paul is saying, you ought to forgive him and comfort him. And to me, this was the Lord speaking, especially where we can at church, is in a very correct manner, hold people at a distance kind of relationship. It's where God, I believe, wants to do something in his body where we are trusting him to release us from that coldness, that iciness, those small things, but they actually have the ability to bind our heart. And God says, you shouldn't just forgive him, you should comfort him. And because otherwise they're going to be swallowed up with excessive sorrow. It might be that you might be a leader of sorts, or you are seen as the leader in that relationship. You are actually the one with the power in the relationship. And this Christmas, I felt like the Lord is saying to us, don't just forgive, but forgive and comfort. Let the offense go, especially in the house of God. And the Lord is saying, I give you power to do this. You know, it's these little foxes that spoil the vine. It's these little pinpricks that just want to keep us keeping a record. And the Lord is saying, you know, I want you, for my name's sake, forgive and comfort. For my name's sake, not just the distance, the long distance forgiveness, but the forgiveness and the comfort. You see, beloved, I think David was more fitted to become a king because of his victory in the broken Saul relationship than with the moment of victory with Goliath. I think he was more fitted to become king because of his willingness to forgive and endure with people, with Saul. I think he was more fitted there in those 16 years than that one moment of taking his enemy's head off. Forgive and comfort him. Because I think forgiveness means closeness. It's not that forgiveness, it is that forgiveness, I'm sorry, that lets people back in, into your grace and into your prayer closet so that your petition can be, God bless them. It's not the kind of forgiveness where people are on probation. Quality to it. I'm watching you. Don't get too close. It's the quality of the forgiveness of the type and beauty that we found at the cross. It's a full forgiveness, and it has a glory in it where we are changed. And beloved, when we change our attitude, we create changed attitudes. That's the power of it. When our attitude changes, we create changed attitudes. It has to start somewhere. It's got to start with the one with the most of Jesus. You may think you have the most of Jesus. It's the one who forgives that has the most of Jesus. I like to say sometimes we a thermometer or what is that? Thank you. Thermometer or thermostat. The thermometer just registers the temperature in the room. The thermostat changes the temperature in the room. That's what forgiveness gives us, that ability to do that. And when we have a changed attitude and we create changed attitudes, the most amazing thing, though, about David, I felt in this part of his life, is that David didn't need Saul's change of heart to experience a change of heart. David didn't need to see, wow, Saul, did you fall to your knees and begin to say, David, you were right all along. David, I'm so sorry. David, I completely misread you. David, I wronged you. David didn't wait for that. David didn't have to look for that because as he said, Lord, you got to change my heart and you got to preserve me in this relationship. You got to protect me. I've got to believe that the heat of this relationship won't melt me or the moon of it, it won't cause me to go crazy. I have to believe you will preserve me in it, but I will walk your way and I will be able to be a free man at the end of this. Because David didn't need Saul's change of heart to experience a change of heart. That is the glory of passing on the type of forgiveness that Christ offers to us that is in us. And that's the quality of the forgiveness we are going to offer to people. There is a glory of change. It transcends how human forgiveness operates. It's the echo of Christ on the cross. Father, forgive them. And that's the type we have. And beloved, that's why David didn't say at Saul's memorial, this man ruined my life, because he didn't. That's why he didn't stand at his memorial and say, this man in this situation ruined my life, caused me to be separated from my family, caused me to be on the run, caused me nothing but grief and pain in the prime years of my life. No, he said in 2 Samuel, Saul and Jonathan, his son, were lovely and pleasant in their lives. Lovely and pleasant. Now that's the wow forgiveness we're talking about. This is the quality of forgiveness we have received. For Jesus said, they are lovely. You are pleasant to me. You are altogether desirable for me. No matter what we're like, no matter how many days on end we forget God, no matter how many times we want and off in our arrogance and our pride and did it our own way and mess things up, Jesus said, you are altogether lovely, my beloved. I love you. Draw near to me. That's the quality of forgiveness he offers us. He said, Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. What a free heart this man had. What a big picture. What he didn't zero in on the wrongs done. But no, he was big enough to recognize the full picture of this relationship. He was able to say there was a time Saul did bless. There was a time Saul did good. There was a time Saul blessed me. And in the unforgiveness and the coldness and the icily correctness, that got melted away too, that he didn't just grit his teeth and say something correct at the funeral. No, he said something amazing at the funeral. And beloved, let's not be kept in prison in dark places, plagued with repeated hurtful memories. When the Lord says, you can be free, I can preserve you. If you will offer the forgiveness as I forgave you, it will change everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The scripture says Jesus is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. He's mighty to save in our relationships. Beloved, he wants to bring peace to our heart this Christmas. He wants to bring peace to our heart by causing us to bear peace to one another, to forgive and to release. In a group this size, I understand for some people what this message means. Well, I don't. But I do. I know that for some, this is not a small thing to ask you to do. For others who are in the church family, the icy coldness, it does take sometimes a lot of grace also. I heard a story once where it said that what unforgiveness that leads to bitterness, it's sort of a bit like a hungry bear comes up to a campsite, sticks his nose in a boiling iron pot, wanting to eat something, and his nose gets so severely burned. So in his anger, he grabs that boiling iron pot and he grabs it to his chest. And of course, it burns and causes him more pain. So he squeezes the boiling iron pot closer to his chest. And the more he hugs it, it's killing him by degrees. And he wants to crush it. He wants to kill it in his own strength. He wants revenge. He wants to have his way with what hurt him. But the harder he hugs it to his heart and chest, the more he kills himself. In degrees. And the Lord says, I know I made you. I know how this works. And the world will push you to hugging that boiling pot so tight, eventually it will kill you. You can't exact revenge on it. Revenge is mine, says the Lord. I know all about it. He says, you can't kill yourself by degrees because I died that way. I died by degrees that you could have life. He says, I know the way forward and I know how to liberate you. I know how to make you completely free. I can give you an anointing like David. And beloved, where he can walk after 16 years of having to forgive year after year after year, major wrongs, he did it. He landed free. He was trained to be free in the area of forgiveness. And then he stepped out of that place at Saul's death into the kingship that God had prepared for him. And beloved, I just want to say at this time of the season, many of us have a burden for our families. We want to be able to lead them to Christ. And beloved, I believe that what that is a bit like what David, when he had that quality of forgiveness, even towards the Sauls in his life, when at the end, when he could praise them, when he could see the big picture, people went, Matt, that's a big man. That's an amazing man. That's a spirit we don't see every day. That's not a common spirit. That's not a spirit of the world. How did he get like that? That's a man I could follow. And beloved, I believe the Lord's saying, do you want to have impact on your family this Christmas? I want to. Have that quality of forgiveness. Overlook. Release. Because they'll end up saying, that's something, that freedom in your spirit. That ability to move forward and go from strength to strength, I want that. That ability to leave the wrongs behind and to call on the life of Christ and the strength of Christ and the forgiveness of Christ, that you may rise and you may get the big picture and your spirit may go free and you can offer peace to your family. And people go, I want that. I will follow you. I will follow you right into that kind of free heart. How did you get that? I want that. Because I think a forgiving heart and a releasing spirit is some of the most, is the most Christ offer honoring thing we can do. And it looks the most like Jesus of anything that we do. You know, David arrived at freedom. It was a one time, one moment of first time forgiveness. And then it was many moments of releasing with grace till freedom came. And that's a lot of times how it works. There's like this one mighty moment we go, that's it. I have to forgive. It's sort of like the sword swings and off goes Goliath's head. But then there are many moments after of releasing it to God, of releasing it to God and letting him keep and preserve you till your moment of freedom. David achieved that. He became a man after God's own heart. That's what I want. I want to walk this earth as a very free person. I know what that means, forgiving and releasing. That marks my Christianity. So, beloved, I wish you an amazing Christmas where you may give the most special gift of all, the gift of forgiving and the gift of releasing, the gift of accepting the forgiveness of Christ sometimes too, and the gift of releasing what's behind. I pray this Christmas you and I will be enabled, supernaturally enabled, to give the gift that changes everything. Will you stand with me? As the musicians come, we have an opportunity to perhaps review that list, not the one you're giving to Santa. But review that list of the people that there is that icy coldness that's going to take a step of grace that you may forgive them and comfort them. Forgive them and comfort them. And there's some here, there has to be that major step of faith. You don't know how you're going to do it. But all you know is you've been forgiven by Christ. And you find yourself like I was. God's not going to let the issue go. There's somebody significant. You must release. You must forgive. There's a Saul. You may have grown weary. It's been 16 long years for you. It's been a long time. And you want the grace to continue because you know there is a desired end. There's freedom at the end of this. And so as the musicians play, and it's going to take a lot of courage, but you know, freedom is worth it. Freedom and courage are synonymous. It's going to take courage, but God will understand the offering of our heart. And this Christmas, he wants it to make the best ever because of this spirit in us where you're trusting Christ, that forgiveness and releasing may be part of how you deal with family and friends. So let's come. I'm just going to ask you to quickly come if this means something to you, to step out and say, Lord, I thank you. You're not asking me to go alone in this. I thank you, you promised to go with me. And I want this to be the best Christmas ever. Even if it's a very small Christmas, I want it to be a rich Christmas because I'm asking for your spirit. I'm asking to operate out of your spirit. I'm asking for the ability to release and forgive in a new way. Hallelujah. Just come forward. Come forward. Beloved, I don't know if you realize that forgiveness had an end and you get free. I didn't know if you realize that forgiveness, after doing its precious work, its patient work, we go free. I didn't know if you knew there was an end. I didn't know if you knew, like David, it does not go on forever, but you go free. You go as someone people want to follow. You go with a testimony that is nothing of this world in it. And I think in the end days, People who don't collect the hurts but keep releasing them. People who believe God will preserve them and know their story. He will be your justice. He will be your judgment. But you choose the higher law in Christ. The same forgiveness you and I receive, we will give out. And we will get so amazed by the quality of the forgiveness that we are offered on a continual basis. And it will get easier and easier to forgive. Even the deepest, hardest relationships, even the places that look impossible, we will be allowed the power and the grace to forgive, and we will walk it out, and we may have to keep releasing it for a season, but God is faithful, and He changes us. He changes the situation. And I know you join with me. I refuse to be bitter and dried up in the house of God. And all my testimony was about 20 years ago. When I was soft, when I was pliable, and then God could use me. And I just hardened into kind of that cold, icy, you know, slightly cold, telling everybody how to do it mode. I don't want that. I want to be a green tree, able to bend with the storms of life and still come have life. And offer life. A tree offers life. It gives comfort. It gives shade. It's a home for the birds. It's a beautiful thing. Oh, this is all possible in Christ. Merry Christmas. Receive the gift to forgive and release. Not just once, not just twice, but for as long as needed till you get free in a glorious testimony. And so many get free when you do. God is good. Merry Christmas. Lord, I just thank you now. I pray, oh God, I thank you for giving us the gift that changes us. I thank you for the gift that, Lord, us receiving your forgiveness, we're going to give it, and that gift is going to change everything. I thank you there's an end to it. I thank you there's a reality to it. I thank you, you know our whole story. I thank you we're going to land in the grace of God and being able, not bitter and hardened, but alive and vibrant, of being free in Christ, of being that call of king in our life as a king and priest unto you and leading many to Christ. I thank you, oh God, this is our future. I thank you, oh God, we're going to astound our world, oh God, because we're going to call on the grace of God to forgive and release, and you will be faithful to us. You will preserve us. The sun, the moon, everything will be a witness that you are for us and you are with us. So I thank you this Christmas. We receive the power to forgive. We give the gift of forgiveness and releasing. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for this supernatural work. Receive the glory. In your name we pray. Amen and amen.